This episode of Locked On NFL Draft is brought to you by McDonald's, probably serving communities since 1965. It's always been a place where you can get tasty, affordable food and an unofficial community center. Big thank you for them for sponsoring us and doing what they do. We're loving it. This is Locked On NFL Draft. We have Rob Ryan. We have Eric Crocker. Little old me too. We're going to get into the five players nobody's talking about, and we need to. An interesting take on the top 10 from last year's draft. We're going to get deep into that. And then take a look at the rookies playing in Thursday night football. Welcome to Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On NFL Draft. I'm your host, former NFL and NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And as always, I'm joined by Ryan Tracy, Rob Rang. How y'all doing?
Doing very well, sir.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're going to jump straight into it, man. Rob, obviously, we always lead with an article that he's working on for Fox Sports. And you're talking about some of the five players that nobody's really talking about. So let's get into that, man. Throw out some of those names.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that we are starting to get into mock draft season, gentlemen, and I think that there is a lot of players that you see and hear over and over again, but in my conversations with NFL scouts and in my scouting as well, there's five players out there who I think are not getting enough love from the media, from the college fan bases, but that the NFL scouts are saying, hey, these are guys that may actually wind up becoming top 32 draft picks. And that's not my thing. You know, I want to hype up these players and give them a little bit of love. And two of them actually played for the Penn State Nittany Lions. And so I wanted to kind of start there. Jahan Dotson, a wide receiver, absolutely spectacular playmaker, had a splashy performance against Maryland. As you just said, Eric, I mean, explosive. I mean, to me, he reminds me a little bit of a guy in my own backyard, the Seattle Seahawks, and Tyler Lockett, in that he is not only a really savvy route runner for a guy who's 5'11", can go up and get the football, but he also has the straight line speed to just run right on by people as well. So to me, he is one of those players that we absolutely have to mention. I think that the graduate transfer, Arnold Ebiketie, transfer from Temple, 6'3", 255 pounds, and he has been one of the most explosive, again, to use that word, explosive pass rushers in all of college football so far this season. And that was a little bit of a surprise, considering that the Penn State Nittany Lions lost Jason Owe, now known as Odafe Owe, has moved on to the Baltimore Ravens. And so this was unexpected, yet he has been absolutely spectacular for Penn State so far this season. So to me, that those are two of the guys that are absolutely, media members and fans, college football fans, have not been talking about enough so far this year, but the NFL scouts really have been excited about.
You have Dotson. You brought him up, and we just kind of mentioned him, so maybe we're showing him a little love on the NFL draft show. But explosive guy, really smooth, and you talked about him being kind of similar to Lockett in a sense of their ability. But the one thing that's a little different, Dotson has a little thicker build, just a little bit, right? He's not as wiry as Tyler Lockett. So that might be something that's even more intriguing to a lot of the scouts, just has that a little bit more of an NFL ready body right now.
No, he does. And so that's the thing. That's one of the reasons why I think that he could sneak into the later portion of the first round, whereas Tyler Lockett, of course, was a second round selection. And then if we were going to go back to, some of the guys, again, here in my backyard, I would mention the offensive tackle Jackson Kirkland from the University of Washington. Now, this has been a disappointing season for Washington in a lot of regards. They just fired their offensive coordinator. They were expected to be a top 25 team this year, and lost to Montana right in the season opener. But at the same time, while Jackson Kirkland, the left tackle, struggled a little bit against Aiden Hutchinson of Michigan, in that really high-profile matchup. I mean, who has not struggled against Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. And Jackson Kirkland has not given up a sack the rest of the season. And so he had a spectacular performance this past week against my top rated player and the top rated player for a lot of people. Oregon's Kayvon Thibodeau did not give up a quarterback pressure, did not give up a sack in that game, is 6'6", 315 pounds, has the frame that a lot of NFL teams are looking for. And so he is another one that has that first round frame and game that a lot of people are excited about. But Ryan, I'm kind of curious if there's any players either on my list or any players that are kind of percolating in that head of yours that you see as guys who are underrated from a national perspective, but may wind up being first round selections.
You know, first rounds, it's tough for me to gauge this point. And Kirkland in particular, I like that you bring him up because I kind of feel like in this draft class, he might get a rebound effect because of especially the lack of arm length in the last draft for the tackle class. It looks to me on film like he's going to measure out in the upper echelon in terms of length. And I think that he might drive up boards just based on that fact. But I don't want to overlook the fact that the performance last week in the rain, in the slog, where I would think trying to kick step and trying to get yourself squared away against an elite pass rusher like that, I think that performance alone might lift him. But are there, before I give you one guy that I've been watching, is there any other tackles that you think are on the rise here late in the season that could really push to take that position back up to where it usually is?
Well, no, there absolutely are. I mean, it's not that that I think that this year's offensive tackle class is lacking. I just think that not enough attention is being dedicated to the interior of the offensive line. And that's to me is one thing that I was really pounding the table about how special last year's center class was. And I think that we're seeing evidence of that, especially Creed Humphrey with the Kansas City Chiefs. But previous to his injury, Josh Myers, in Green Bay, to me would be one of the guys that we absolutely have to mention here. At the same time, to me, Zion Johnson from Boston College would be one of the guys that really jumps out. You know, he's been absolutely spectacular. You mentioned playing tackle. That's something that Zion Jackson was asked to do a season ago for Boston College, and he was solid there, but he was not. He just doesn't have the frame. He doesn't have the length, as you just mentioned. He's 6'3", 315 pounds. He does kind of have shorter, stubbier arms. I think he's probably going to measure in at 32.5, 33-inch arms. And so to me, you put him back inside at guard, where Boston College has so far this season, and lo and behold, he's become one of the most dominant offensive linemen in college football. So I think that there's a number of intriguing offensive tackles. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the guys who are a little bit raw wind up coming early into the NFL draft because this last year's class did lack some of those guys that have that prototypical NFL length. But in terms of guys who can come in, plug and play, and be a starter from day one, Zion Johnson from Boston College to me is one of the guys that was in my article and I think is going to wind up being a first round selection when it's all said and done.
Well, I don't know if this guy can be a first round selection, but Brandon Joseph, the safety out of Northwestern, and you know, they're kind of stacking up these good defensive backs coming out of there. They just had Greg Newsome, who I loved his film. Brandon Joseph, this is another guy with tremendous ability. So, you know, I'm pretty sure eventually he's going to start to really get on guys' radars. I mean, this is a talented safety draft class, and I think he's somebody that kind of adds a little bit to that mix, a terrific football player. This episode of Locked On NFL Draft is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving your community since 1965. McDonald's has always been the place that's just, you know, not just good, tasty, affordable food, but it's a place for friends to come and connect, friends and family, a place where classmates can meet up and have study groups. And, you know, knowing that they have dependable Wi-Fi, I know I've used it at, you know, different times, endless supplies of French fries, McFlurries. I really like the apple pies and when they have the strawberry pies. You know, it's a place where, you know, whether you win or lose, you and your teammates, you guys just like to go and relax and grab a bite of food. So, you know, it's always a place that everybody has looked forward to. I know in my family, when I was a kid, we loved when our mother would take us to McDonald's, you know, instead of her cooking some spaghetti or meatloaf or something like that. So you guys right now, head over to your local McDonald's to refuel and connect. And did somebody say Locked On? Yes, Locked On NFL Draft. We might have to have a little draft show over there at McDonald's. That'd be something kind of cool. And also, when you're on your way to McDonald's, why not stop and head over to, you know, gas and gas up by using GetUpside. All right. It's an amazing app, and it's an app that you need to know before if you own a car yourself. All right. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Now, all you have to do is just download the GetUpside app at your Google Play Store or your Apple Store right now and use promo code Touchdown. When you do that, you'll get a bonus of 25 cents for every gallon on your fill up. All right, that's up to 50 cents cash back. All right, now don't pay full price at a gas pump ever again. Get the cash back by using GetUpside and just download the app. Now, what are you guys going to do? You're going to go do that right now, and you're going to get 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first fill up. And some people that drive a lot more than I do, they're making, what, $200 to $300 a month in cash back because they're driving so much and they're using this app. And the payout is really simple. You can use your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card, Amazon, and, you know, whatever other gift cards that you have. So just download the app right now, GetUpside app, and use that promo code Touchdown. All right, so guys, Rob, Ryan, we wanted to get into some of Daniel Jeremiah's comments, and he put out this tweet from one of his scouting buddies and said that, a buddy of his said that everybody in the top 10 last year could potentially go number one overall this year. What are you guys' initial thoughts when you hear something like that?
Well, at least for me, my first thought is that, well, that's just a reflection on the quarterbacks, you know, and to basically quote Daniel Jeremiah's tweet, interesting opinion from a scouting buddy, 10 players from the 2021 draft would be first overall in the 2022 draft. Now, I don't think that that's the most respectful thing to say to guys like Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, right, the offensive tackle from Alabama. I mean, we talked a little bit before about Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. You know, the reality is the players that were drafted in 2021, of course, are not available in 2022. But at the same time, again, to me, the number one takeaway here is something that we've already talked about in our show many times, gentlemen, is that this is a draft class in 2022 that just simply lacks the obvious quarterback talents, the obvious running back talents. I still think this is a pretty solid receiver class, but I don't see a Jamar Chase. I don't see a Devontae Smith as a Heisman Trophy kind of candidate, you know, and so to me, this is more reflection about the fact that there are some really good football players. They just happen to be defensive linemen. They happen to be cornerbacks. And those guys are really important to today's game as well. So with all due respect to Daniel Jeremiah, a buddy of mine, a buddy of many out there, and certainly among many NFL scouts, he does a terrific job. I also think that this might be a reflection of the fact that his scouting buddy might be a team that is just desperate for quarterback help at this point.
It certainly seems like that, because that is the starkest difference, right? Because I could see an argument, you know, Kyle Pitts was a rarity with a top 10 tight end. Maybe you could say that's certainly not in this class. Like, I don't know. The wide receiver group is good, but like you said, there's no Jamar Chase. They also have the hindsight here of, and I wonder what pro personnel scouting does after you have your draft grades and you get a little bit a look at these rookies, that has a tendency to loft some of those opinions as well. And it makes it harder to compare, especially apples to apples, if you're still in the market for that positional need that changes everything that you're doing. Certainly, linebacker group, I would make argument that there's probably better talent in this class as an off-ball linebacker, particularly the coverage types, than we saw last season. So I think it is definitely a unique class and very different from last year as well.
Yeah, edge rusher, too. I mean, that was a position that was really lacking last year. Kayvon Thibodeau, as Rang said, you know, he's right up there at the top. And I think in any class, he'll be considered one of the top prospects in that draft, right? When I look at the class, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. It's the lack of quarterbacks, and everybody pushes quarterbacks up boards, and sometimes it's not even deservedly so. So when you talk about a guy like this who – guys, I don't know how you just skip over guys like Thibodeau and even like freaks like, you know, Kyle Hamilton at 6'4", 220-pound safety like that. Just be super disrespectful to some of the guys that are in this class. I think that's a little strange. And it's even strange for Daniel Jeremiah, a guy who really pays attention to draft classes, and he's a draft guy, and to kind of echo that and tweet that out and put that out into the Twitter sphere, kind of leave it open to a lot of scrutiny. That was interesting for him to, you know, tweet that out.
I'd want to do a poll of execs or scouts that he knows probably, this has probably already happened in his text messages about, hey, for those teams who don't need a quarterback, how many of you agree with this statement? Because I'm guessing it's pretty thin, to tell you the truth.
I think a lot of times we always look at it like that, right? Like, oh, like, you know, just the most recent class is just so much better. But then I bet as they really get their boards together, really start diving into the talents, really start to, you know, dig into these prospects, see them test, you know, get their height, weight, speed, the measurables and things like that, they'll start to fall in love with guys. And there will be guys that get pushed more, you know, up the board. And speaking of getting pushed up the board, man, we are back and better than ever with a new web interface to start the basketball season. More props, odds, lines, and better than ever. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your basketball and football action this season. Head over right now to the updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code Locked On to receive the bonus. And, you know, from basketball, football, to hockey, boxing, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing available offers for the year 2021. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. It's BetOnline, where the games start. All right, guys, as you know, man, we got some Thursday night football coming up. A lot of talented rookies in this class. And I think the obvious is probably maybe go with Waddle, a guy who's leading all rookies in catches. But I actually want to start on the other team with Bateman, who's recently come back for Baltimore. He's healthy now, and he's out there getting active. Have you guys watched Bateman since returning? And if so, what have you guys thought about him?
Well, to me, I mean, he as you mentioned, Eric, I mean, he's only returned in the last couple of games, you know, and hasn't had the production that, you know, maybe that we might be expecting of a first-round receiver. I think he's got, you know, what, a dozen catches at this point for 160 yards. I mean, that was sound like a typical game that he had at Minnesota, you know. Right. But at the same time, I also see the traits that led me to believe, led me to grade him as a first-round player. I just think that this is a smooth route runner. I love his hands. He catches everything in a zip code. You know, and to me, he is exactly the type of guy that makes a lot of sense for Baltimore Ravens squad that was looking for somebody to basically be that second fiddle, so to speak, to a guy like Marquise Hollywood Brown, that straight line speed guy. You want Rashad Bateman to be able to come in and be that guy who's going to be able to move the chains on third down. Maybe he'll never wind up having all of the touchdown receptions. Certainly not the straight line speed guy that Brown is. But at the same time, while Brown may deliver, I think that Rashad Bateman can deliver as well.
I think there's two other factors that might slow him down in a direct comparison. Obviously, Waddle's getting fed quite a bit and good for him. But not only has the injury slowed him down, but he's not – just going to be able to walk in and have the same kind of role either, especially with that target share. Looks like Sammy Watkins is going to be back this week for them as well. So that then takes another little chunk in terms of targets. I just think that that's actually a good thing, because I feel like the injury set him back far enough that if he's a little slower develop, when they get to the point where they're, you know, closing out the regular season, fighting for a playoff berth, and once they get to the postseason, that's where I expect him to make a mark.
They also, you know, talking about the Ravens, have safety Brandon Stevens. That was a guy who they converted over to safety from the cornerback position and was a part of a big play that happened last week. Justin Jefferson, it was like a 50-yard bomb down the field, and there was a blown assignment there. And I believe our guy Brandon Stevens there was a part of that play in the blown assignment. And you know, you see things like that from rookie safeties, but I'd assume that he's someone with experience, things like that, like, you have those plays now, so later down the line, you know, he improves on those things and doesn't let that happen again.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he has been a pretty productive player for Baltimore so far, you know, considering the fact that he was making that transition from cornerback as he played at SMU to safety. But my goodness, 6'1", 219 pounds. I mean, he has that safety build. You know you're going to have some kind of mental mistakes. I mean, that's just a rookie in the NFL is going to do that, and certainly one who is making that transition from one position to another. But you know, guys, I think that we might be kind of burying the lead here. I think that whether you want to call him Jason, whether you want to call him Odafe, Mr. Owe has been absolutely spectacular for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, three sacks so far. You know, I don't know about you guys. Well, even with all due respect to the incredible talent that is Lamar Jackson, when I think of the Baltimore Ravens, I still think of defense. And maybe I'm the old man in that regard, but for a rookie to be leading the Ravens in sacks here in week 9, week 10 of the season, I think that's just absolutely mind-boggling. So, you know, kudos to the Baltimore Ravens. And they gambled on the upside that I think we all saw with Owe, but we didn't see any type of consistency, and yet they gambled on them, and now that he is having that production, to me, it's one of the reasons why the Baltimore Ravens do what they do. They gamble on upside. They've been able to win with upside for so many years, and Owe looks like one of the better pass rushers this year's draft class.
You'll have no argument from me, but I do want to say one other one. Javon Hollins actually made the transition to the NFL really well, right? A guy – oh, did I steal it from you? I'm sorry. I was a little concerned about the transition for him. I thought Miami was a good place to land, but given the drama with Fitzpatrick before, like, how were they going to use him? Was it going to be effective for his style? I'm really glad to see him. He's got an interception, two PBUs as well. So he's leading the rookie group down there in terms of performance on the field. And I think you can see the evolution going on for him as well.
Yeah, Javon Holland, he was a guy, you guys know, I love my defensive backs, and I watched a good amount of him coming out of Oregon, and, you know, he was kind of, obviously he's listed as a safety, and he would play some too high, but they also played him in kind of that star role, right, kind of like this nickel position, but it's like a safety that doesn't have to come off the field, and he played there well. You know, I thought he did good in space, but I was like, you know what, I would like to see him even in a little bit more too high. I thought Oregon kind of did a disservice for him. I mean, they put him in a lot of tough positions, a lot of tough matchups against more quicker or shiftier receivers. I thought more times than not, he held his own. And I was curious to see how does he transition to the NFL as more of a pure safety. So far, just had his, that interception last week. That's working out. But a transition that has been really weird is Jaylen Waddle. And I mean, you know, we talked about it, leading all rookies in receptions. He has a ton of receptions, but he's averaging like 8.5 yards per catch. And that's not something that I would have ever thought with a guy that has his type of speed, his type of explosive ability, especially what we saw from him at Alabama. We're not getting that right now. He's kind of more of just a, you know, run to the sticks, turn around, catch the ball, you know, get a yard or two extra. But are you think they're going to misusing him, especially a guy that they drafted so high? They drafted him in the top 10, but they're using him like he's Trent Taylor.
That's true. No, they really are. You know, that has been absolutely a surprise to me. I thought one of the reasons why that Jaylen Waddle might be able to have a little bit more of an immediate impact is that he has that rapport, of course, with his former Alabama teammate, Tua Tagovailoa. And so I thought, wow, this could be sweet music playing in Miami right off the bat with Waddle. I had my concerns about Waddle. The fact that over his three seasons, you know, in Tuscaloosa, his statistics went down every single season. And guys who have that kind of spindly frame, to me, oftentimes they struggle with durability. But Waddle, to his credit, has been very durable, has been very tough, is getting the ball an awful lot. I'm surprised that he only has 3 touchdowns and is averaging, 9 yards a reception, as you just mentioned, Eric. For a guy that is getting the ball in his hands as many times as he has, frankly, I thought that he would be making some splashier plays at this point. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Miami's other first-round selection, Jalen Phillips, the pass rusher. We talked about Owe for the Baltimore Ravens as well. You know, Phillips has a couple of sacks to his credit already this season also. So, to me, that's one of the fascinating things about this Thursday night game, gentlemen, is it's not just the receivers. They're going to get all the buzz, but it's the fact that there are good players that are first year players for both clubs. And that's one of the reasons why the future does appear to be bright, both in Baltimore as expected, but also for Miami, a team that's 2-7 so far, but some of their best players are some of their youngest players.
Young is it's a two-edged sword, right? you have that ability to improve. You have upside, but you got to get into it too. One guy that struggled to this point, and I want to see if he can make some hay against the Ravens, is Liam Eikenberg, who's had to play both sides of this line at both tackle positions so far, but has been a struggle. Now, he was taken in the second round, but still in the top 45 picks. And I thought he was going to actually make the transition a little bit cleaner than he has. I know there was concern about arm length and that kind of thing, but I felt like he played well at Notre Dame. I just haven't seen the same kind of performance on the field here. Maybe he can get it turned around as the season goes on. Do you have any kind of faith in that, either of you?
For me, I do. I like Eichenberg. I think that he is going to be a really good football player for Miami. I just think that that transition from tackle to guard, because he played exclusively tackle at Notre Dame. And then in Miami, of course, he bounced, as you just mentioned, bounced around to both sides. I mean, basically Miami was using all over the place as if he is that veteran when he's not really, at least not the NFL level. So I do have a great deal of faith in him. But as Eric mentioned before with Brandon Stevens, the cornerback turned safety in the NFL, you're going to get beat sometimes. And considering the fact that Miami, does have the young quarterback, it's not necessarily going to be able to help an offensive lineman like Eichenberg, who's never had a quarterback quite like Tua. I mean, Tua is a different kind of guy. Jacoby Brissett as well is a different kind of a guy. These are guys that can move around the pocket a little bit. You know, with all due respect to the quarterbacks that he had at Notre Dame, good players, but not this kind of caliber guys. They usually were just able to beat teams with their just pure talent. Then I think that's one of the reasons why Eichenberg has struggled a little bit so far as rookie season.
I think that's going to be really the evolution for him as well. And we'll see what he gets to. A guy that can move around and actually break the pocket too. What a novel idea for a tackle to have to guard against. It takes some change there. Folks, that's going to be it for us today. We hope that you enjoyed this show. We have more for you, though. I will be back next time for Rob Rang, for Eric Crocker. You'll hear from more from them. We hope that you enjoyed this weekend slate. There's a lot coming up, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to Locked On NFL Draft.